Proverbs chapter 8. Turn there with me if you would. We'll finish up the chapter in this message. And then when you find it, go ahead and stand with me. We'll read our text. We're just going to read four verses, so we won't be standing long. After we finish chapter 8 tonight, we'll be going into chapter 9 next Wednesday and preaching through chapter 9. Now, I don't know how many sermons that'll be. I can't always forecast for sure how many messages it'll be, but my plan right now is to finish chapter 9 and then probably we'll go to another book of the Bible. So pray with me about that. I have an idea where I think the Lord would have us to go. But it's kind of a big deal. Whatever book we decide, we're probably going to be there a while. So I want to make sure that it's the one that God has for us. So pray with me about it. But we will for sure be in chapter 9 for the next several weeks anyway. Okay, verse 33 of Proverbs 8. The Bible says, "Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not." Now that phrase, "refuse it not," it's really an important part of the entire message. It kind of gives us a tendency that we have, and that's an important thing to understand before you can understand the blessing or the grace that God extends to us to help us, because we need God's help. And so the tendency there is that refusal. Look at verse number 34. "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. That he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." So tonight the title is, "Let's Get Hungry for the Word of God." The title is, "Let's Get Hungry for the Word of God." And let me give you a subtitle. The subtitle is, "How to Determine if You're Hungry for the Word of God or Not." So tonight, I think that we'll be able to give you not just information, but a way to determine the appetite that you have for the Word of God. And I mean, I think sometimes we think that we have a certain level of interest or appetite for the Word of God, but tonight I think you'll see where you are in maybe in a more clear way, which I think is what Solomon means to give here. So let's pray and we'll get into this message. Father, I pray your help tonight. We need to hear from you, so I pray your blessings on each and everything that is said, that you'd get glory for it all. We love you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for grace. Thank you that you so clearly help us to see our tendencies, but then, God, you just offer us grace and mercy to overcome and overpower and strengthen us through these difficult challenges that we face. And so I pray that tonight that it would come out clearly, and that your Spirit would revive and work in the hearts of your people. We'll give you glory for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Well, I think that it's sort of a redundant, especially in the mind of Christians, and especially in the mind of a Wednesday night crowd, to say that we need to be hungry for the Word of God. But there is a lack of hunger for the Word of God sometimes. It's sort of like, and I tease about this, and yeah, I'm going to tease about it again, that I don't think in the whole world that I know of that there's a food that's very much worse than sauerkraut. So it's just awful. So I'm never hungry for sauerkraut, never, ever hungry for it. That's just etched in the back of my mind, the stench of sauerkraut. I walk into the room when it's being made, and it just makes me gag, just the smell of it. Amen. And I'm saying this for two reasons. It really helps set the stage for the sermon, but we have potluck dinner coming up in a couple weeks. Don't bring sauerkraut. Amen? All right, here we go. So, but you know, some people say this, you know, Pastor, you probably should taste sauerkraut because, you know, every so often our taste buds change and you need to, you know, give it a try. Maybe you'll like it. And, you know, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not really willing to do that. Not willing to go out on a limb and test that theory. It might be true, and you might be right. I actually might like sauerkraut now, but I'm not interested in giving it a try, partly because, you know, I don't really want... It's sort of more than just the bad taste and smell. I mean, there's some memories associated to it, too. So I don't want any of that. I don't want to develop a taste for it. I don't really care to try. However, when I was in college, I tried coffee, and I didn't like it that well. But I was so tired, you know? And I just thought, I need some caffeine. And so then I started drinking coffee, and it looked like, I don't know, like really light tea. You know, I would do 12 cups of coffee with maybe two scoops of, you know, 12 cups of water with maybe two scoops of coffee. I mean, you could literally see, you know, through the coffee. It was so light, and it still was awful to me. But I drank it, and then it got darker, more scoops of coffee, and less cups of water. And here's the point I'm making is I developed a taste for it, so now I really enjoy coffee. I don't just enjoy the caffeine side of it, I enjoy the taste of it. And I have a craving for it. We have cravings for certain foods and distaste for other foods. And that's true in the life that we live, but it's also true spiritually speaking as it relates to the Word of God. We can lose a taste for the Word of God. We can lose a hunger or a craving for the Word of God. Maybe today you're here and when you walked in, you're like, you walk through the glass doors and you're like, oh, finally I'm here. You know, maybe you're thinking that. Finally I get to hear the Word of God. You know, finally I get to be around godly people, but you're excited for the preaching. You're excited for the Word of God. What is that? What is that a demonstration of? It's a demonstration of the craving that you have for it. We can lose that. I mean, we can be in church, but because we're supposed to be here, but not crave it. Our time at church, our time maybe even in the mornings in the Word of God can kind of be like a sauerkraut feeling. We're here because I have to do this. It's on my plate and I need to eat it, but I don't really want it. I'm not looking forward to it. There's not a craving there. God wants us to have a craving. He wants us to have a hunger, and our appetite for the Word of God indicates the level of hunger that we have for it. Now, I know that seems like I'm saying the same thing, but I'm not. Let me say it again. Our appetite, your appetite for the Word of God, it indicates the level of hunger that you have for the Word of God. So look at verse number 33, and let me show you that's what he's saying here, okay? He says, hear instruction, be wise, and refuse it not. So there's two things happening there. Number one, he says, hear the Word of God. So let's say this is him saying you need to have a craving or a hunger for wisdom. But then the last part of it is how we sometimes feel, refusing it. We don't want it. We're not hungry for it. We don't have an appetite for it. We don't have that passion or desire. So the contrast is right there in that verse. But look what he says in verse 34, because he adds to the hearing. He says, blessed is the man that heareth me. So he's going to emphasize the hearing part. And here's how he emphasizes it. He says, watching daily at my gates. And then he emphasizes it again. He says, waiting at the posts of my doors. So hearing the Word of God, I think that we can see this. It's sort of built in by implication to this passage that when you hear the Word of God, you'll begin to get a taste for it. The more that you are absent from the Word of God, the less you'll have a taste for it. I think that's built into this. And so when he says, heareth the Word of God, we need to make time to hear the Bible, whether it's in our personal time or being exposed to the preaching. We need to hear it. He says, then this will, I think by implication, it'll inspire us. It'll give us a craving. It'll give us a taste. It'll give us a hunger. Now, we're going to talk about watching daily, and we're going to talk about waiting at the posts of the doors here in just a minute. But let me go on a little bit with this taste or getting a taste for the Word of God. The imagery is sort of like when my kids were babies, and some of y'all either have grandbabies or you have little ones that are still pretty little, or maybe you remember when your little ones did this. But I remember when the boys were little and they got their first taste of something like ice cream. Now they're little and they're babies, and so you you didn't let them get into that stuff too early. I mean, if you're wise, right? But then you're like, hey, you're eating some ice cream and you got your little one. You're like, I wonder how they'll like this, you know? And you give them a little taste of it. What happens after that? Well, they didn't know, but now they know. And you've arrested their attention. And now their eyes are open. They're like, what was that? This is a whole new world. I am definitely interested. And so now they have a taste for that sweet. And whenever you get it that little spoon anywhere close to their mouth becomes like a heat-seeking missile. I mean, you can move the spoon, but their mouth is going for it. You know what? The imagery is there. They're hungry for it. And then whenever they gain control of their hands, because you know when they're a baby, they're trying to figure out how to use their hands, and then they get control, then you have their attention, you have their mouth, but then they'll grab your hand and they'll cram that spoon in their mouth because they have a taste for it. This is what Solomon is saying that we need with the Word of God. And the taste comes from tasting it. You'll get a taste when you're tasting it, when you're exposed to it, when you're around it. The more you're around it, the more you'll want it. And so that's implied in this application. An eagerness. This is a eagerness to receive the Word of God. Maybe we can make statements like this. When we're eager, when we're hungry for the Word of God, when we have a taste, I love saying it like this. When we have a taste for the sweetness of the Word, then we'll say things like this. I'm hungry to hear from God. We'll say, what does God have for me tonight? We'll say, what message does God have for me today? We're going to hear from God and we're excited about it. We have a taste for that sweetness. And so then your appetite for the Word of God indicates the hunger that you have for the Word of God. When you say things like that, man, I'm excited to hear the Word of God. I'm excited to hear from God. What that indicates is that you not only have a taste for it, but you have a hunger for it. So it becomes sort of a way to measure your taste or hunger for God's Word, the appetite that you have for it. Let me give you a couple of quotes. One writer said this, and it's a little complicated, so I'm going to explain it. So if I lose you with the quote, I'll explain what he's saying, okay? He says, the places where the gospel is faithfully preached, which one of those places is church, amen? But it's not just church. Last night, we had family devotions in our home, and we read a verse, and we talked about something, and then I just flat out preached to the boys for a little bit. So we can hear preaching at home, too, you know. In our personal Bible studies, you're reading the Bible, and God does this in your personal. That's God is preaching to your soul. So, I mean, we're in the place where the gospel is faithfully preached. And then he said this, are the gates and the posts of the doors of wisdom at which Christ would have his disciples to wait daily. Now, let me point you back to our verse 34. Blessed is the man that heareth me, and then watch this, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Why are you watching and waiting? And where are you watching and waiting? At the place where you're going to receive the wisdom and Word of God. Can you see the eagerness to receive the Word? That you're watching and you're waiting. It's that taste that you crave. You're excited. You're hungry. He goes on to say this. The same writer. He said, may not Christians, so he's asking a question, consistently redeem time for this waiting? Like as the children of this world, when they redeem their time for their vain amusement. In other words, the gospel is preached. Where the gospel is preached, whether it's at church or in family devotions or in your Bible studies, we should be hungry and eager to give our time to hear the Word of God. like as the world is eager to give their time and their attention to the amusements of this world. What a statement. But often, we, like the world, get into that place where we lose our taste, our vigor, our eagerness, our excitement, our hunger for the Word of God begins to diminish. And we fit more into the category of what Solomon's warning here. Look again at verse number 33. He says, hear instruction, be wise. And then he said, refuse it not. Why would he use this negative sort of language? Why would he say that? Well, that's an indication of the tendency that we have. We have a tendency to refuse at times to give the proper attention to the Word of God as it is in, as we have this happen. Here's what it is an indication of in our life. It's an indication of our indifference to the Word of God. When we're not hungry, when we're not eager, when we don't have an appetite, what does it say about us? That we're indifferent. Although we say that we love the Word of God in these times, we say that we love the Word of God, we even are in our place sometimes because we're just where we're supposed to be, but we're not hungry for it, you know. But we're not interested in giving our attention to the Word of God. Here's what that proves. It proves that we're indifferent to the Word of God. Maybe I say I love broccoli. Anybody love broccoli? You're like, I love broccoli. It's number 3 on the list. Top 5. Broccoli? Amen. I see the 2 hands. I mean, I'm just using this as an illustration. Broccoli's not high on the list. But let's say that it was on my list. See how I'm not even using sauerkraut? I'm not even talking about it because it's not even a pretend thing for me. But we'll pretend about broccoli. Let's say broccoli, I say it's my favorite food. Like, you know, whenever you talk about what's your favorite food, let's say I said it was broccoli. But then it was, you know, let's say there's broccoli on the table at, you know, at our fellowship Sunday and I don't get any broccoli and you notice that. I'm like, why didn't Pastor's favorite food? He didn't get any broccoli. I made a special broccoli thing and Pastor didn't get any of it. Or maybe I go to a buffet and you're with me because, you know, that's what we're going to do, go to a buffet. And I didn't get any broccoli. I went to the salad bar, I didn't get any broccoli. So I said that I love broccoli. I said the words I love broccoli, but I don't have a hunger for it. I'm not getting it. And so what does that say about my hunger or my appetite for broccoli if I'm not getting it? Well, I'm saying one thing, but I'm not really hungry for it, you see. And I think that is kind of how we are sometimes. Maybe we say that we're hungry for the Word of God, or maybe we're in the place where we're supposed to be. Maybe we say we love the preaching, or we love our Bible time, or we love our personal time with God, but we're not consistent being under the preaching, or we're not consistent in our Bible studies every morning. We need to read the Bible every day. Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. But we're not consistent. So we say we love it, but our hunger, our taste, our appetite isn't there. And so what does that say? It says that we're indifferent. No matter what we say, our actions in this sense speak louder than our words, that we have an indifference. Solomon said, our refusal shows that we're indifferent. But why does this happen? Well, I think this happens various reasons, but one could be that we give our attention, our appetite away to other things. We've become hungry for other things. And we've allowed them to replace the Word of God. Like if you say that I'm hungry for broccoli, but then you eat a lot of sweets, then maybe you're not as interested in broccoli if chocolate's on the table. See? And that's something I think we can understand. The same is true as it relates to our hunger for the Word of God. If you could read your Bible or go to an activity or watch TV or go to a sporting event or get involved with some kind of a recreation or even relaxation is more attractive and appetizing than the Word of God sometimes. I mean, it's been a long week for some of us. And we're tired. Maybe you woke up this morning, you don't feel good. And it kind of went with you all day, and now it's church time, and you're kind of tired, and relaxation to you sounds a lot better than going to church. And so because of that, our appetite then gets overtaken, for the Word of God becomes overtaken with our appetite for something else. And so sometimes people hunger for these things all week, and it's not just a temptation of the moment, but it's something that you know, a refusal has happened consistently to the Word of God because there's a hunger that goes through their minds all week long. I can't wait for the weekend. Why? Because we're going to do these activities. I can't wait for the weekend. Why? Because we're going to do these amusements. I can't wait for this particular time because we're going to get to go do these particular things. And all week long, you're hungry for these things. All week long, you're thinking about all these other things that you can do. And it's stealing your appetite away from the Word of God. You get hungry for that. We should be hungry to hear from God. We should be hungry to hear the preaching. We should be hungry to get up and read the Bible in the mornings. But maybe it's church time and you have about 1 million things to do. People are pressuring you to get all these projects done, and you've even been putting pressure on yourself to get these projects done. And church is, in some instances, you have so much to do or so much that you need to accomplish that church actually becomes a nuisance because it kind of disrupts all the stuff that's on your schedule. The 1 million, remember, things that you need to do. And if that is a feeling that you have, you're in danger, aren't you, of allowing these 1 million things to become an appetite for you to feel like you need to satisfy, and it's stealing your appetite away from the Word of God. In fact, you'll become indifferent to the Word of God. Maybe you don't see the preaching as an absolute priority. Family activities are important too, we say. Or family time is important too. And so then what we end up doing with those statements is we replace activities with the time we would be hearing the Word of God. Or we replace our family time with a time that we would be hearing the Word of God. Here, and by the way, I said this before. Can I say it again? That I mean, really, this is just kind of an excuse in the end, because often what we call family time is just watching TV, which isn't family time. We're not going to go to church tonight because we're going to have family time. But what do? We watch TV, and that's not family time. And so what ends up happening is we get, and by the way, that'll lead me into the next thing I want to say, is that we allow, first of all, on this one, we allow that appetite for activities and all these other things that are going on steal us away from the appetite that we should have for the Word of God. And we convince ourselves that it doesn't need to be a priority, when it does need to be a priority. Sometimes we allow amusement to steal our heart. What do you mean amusement? I'm talking about like blue screen time. Like whenever you look at your phone or watch TV, I mentioned TV, you look at your iPad, you look at your laptop, and there's a host of 8 million trillion things you can do to entertain yourself if you have a phone or an iPad or whatever. And so we have stinky days. I mean, hello, we like live in a rotten world, right? And we go through hard things. And the entertainment of this world is designed to kind of take you out of this stinky reality and plant you in another one that makes you feel a little bit better. And so there are times that we start craving that time. I mean, I had a stinky day. Do you know what we look forward to often? Is our blue screen time. I had a stinky day. I can't wait to go home and look at my TV for 3 hours or longer. And so then what ends up happening when you do that day after day after day is you have such a hunger and appetite for your blue screen time that your appetite for the preaching is less and less and less. And so you're in church, by the way, where you should be, if not just because God said you need to be here, but it's more than that, right? So, like, we need to be here. And you need to have an appetite for it, right? But there are times that we have such an appetite for the amusement of this world that we can't wait for this to be over so we can get over to our blue screen and start feeling good with that. You know, we have such an appetite for that we just want this to be over, you know? My kids are like that. You know, they do whenever we say they'd say, "Hey, Dad, can we play a video game or something, or can we watch TV, or can we, you know?" And they have all these stuff they want to do, like entertainment, like TV kind of stuff. And they said, "Dad, can we do this?" And we say, "Okay, you can do that, but you need to do this, 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 and this first, right? You need to do your chores. You need to clean this. You know, you need to pick up that, and then we'll let you do this for a time." And if you're a parent, you probably have done that, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when they're doing the cleaning and picking stuff up, are they really excited about that? No, no, no. They're just doing that so they can get over here and do this. And sometimes that's how we are. We're going through the motions with our Bible reading. We're in church. We're hearing the Word of God. We're not really hungry for it. We're just doing it because that's what we need to do, so then we can get past that and do something that we really want to do. And so there's a danger there. Why? Because when you don't have an appetite for the Word of God, then it indicates, that is an indication for you that you don't have hunger for the Word of God. Your appetite indicates your hunger. And if you have an appetite for these other things, then you're hungry for that, but you're not hungry for the Word of God. And there's a danger there. And we're going to talk about the danger in a minute, but this is part of how we can see that refusal in our own lives. And so it's the entertainment. Let me give you one more. Maybe it's offenses, because believe it or not, offenses have a way of creeping into our hearts. Offenses, what does that mean? It means you got offended or you're upset about something. And if that happened, and by the way, can we just bank on that happening? Yeah, hello, like we're people and we are around other people and we're all sinners. So we're going to offend each other. And that's why God makes it clear in the Word that we need to deal with offenses by going to each other so they don't just sort of hang over us like an umbrella. But let's say that you are offended and you're not dealing with it. Then do you want to be a church? Probably not. Do you want to be in your Bible if offense is lingering in your heart? Probably not. Can you see how if offense lingers in our hearts, it steals our appetite for the Word of God away? And so there's a danger there. And if there's not an appetite for and by the way, this is not an exhaustive list, but a few ways we can say that maybe we have a refusal of the Word or an appetite for the Word, and these would be things that we're hungry for that are stealing our hunger. So why is Solomon showing us these things? Here's why. Because the way of wisdom is life. The refusal of wisdom is death. That's what he says. Now, let me put it together with what we've already been talking about. If you have a hunger for God's Word, then this will lead you to life. If you have an appetite for the other things of this life, and which will, by the way, lead you to a refusal or a lack of an appetite or hunger for the Word of God, then that will lead you to death. Now look at verse 35. "For whosoever findeth me findeth," and there's our word, "life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord." Verse 36, this is the contrast. "But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and they that hate me love death." So the doctrine here that's being developed is only described or shown in two different ways. The way of wisdom is the way of life. The refusal of wisdom is the way of death. And all of these lead to the same end. Everything that we've talked about. If you're busy, you got a million things to do. If you're blind to the priority of the Word of God, you don't see it as an absolute priority, something that needs to trump and overwhelm as far as importance goes everything else in life, no matter what the activity is, but you're blind to that, or you have a taste and a hunger for the entertainment of this world, or an offense in the heart. All of these issues, plus millions more, will lead you to an indifference to the Word of God. And it could be that tonight you have, if you'll be willing to admit it, you have possibly been indifferent, not hungry, and not having a proper appetite for the Word of God. And it could be that some of these things that we even mentioned tonight are stealing your heart away. And they'll lead to death. Now we've shown that it'll lead us to an indifference to the Word of God. What he says here is they'll lead to death. Now how does that translate in our lives? Well, think about this. Let's say you accomplish those million things, but you neglect the Word of God. you'll still be empty. You divide your heart between the activities of this world and God, it will leave you unsatisfied and feeling guilty. You lust after the entertainment of this world, but it leaves you without hope. It doesn't give you what it promises. Lingering offenses are like cancer, aren't they? They just eat you up from the inside. They kill you. These things, they lead us to death. I mean, these things lead us to a life that doesn't, you know, satisfy. It doesn't bring the blessings of spiritual life. It brings the miserable existence of spiritual death, hopelessness. Your hunger for the Word of God will lead you to the blessings of God. The Word of God will fill your empty soul. It gives you peace. Gives you calm. The Word of God is so powerful. The Holy Spirit works through the Word of God in your life to provide for you a need that nobody in this place even possibly could know about. But God provides it for you through the Word of God. How many times have we heard a sermon and the pastor preaches and you're like, how could he have known that? He didn't know that. God knows, and He uses His Word to work in your heart. And you need that. He satisfies the emptiness. He fills your cup. The appetite for this world, it offers you satisfaction, but it gives you emptiness. God, in His Word, doesn't make empty promises. You have an appetite for the Word of God. You hunger for the Word of God, and you put yourself under the Word of God, receiving the Word of God. He will satisfy you. He will fill you. He'll give you hope and a calm. He'll take away those anxieties that are overwhelming and controlling your heart and your life, paralyzing you from moving forward. He'll take care of you. The Word of God, the power of the Holy Ghost, will work in you to satisfy and fill you and take care of you. That's encouraging. It's so encouraging that it puts us in a position where we need to make a choice to say, you know what, I'm going to put myself under the Word of God so that I can constantly get a taste of it. You know, and maybe there's a bitterness in my soul. And by the way, whenever you have a bitter, have you ever, whenever you get sick and your throat hurts and you're just sick, and then you eat something and usually, and I know COVID does this, if any of you have had COVID, you eat something, you're like, that doesn't taste right. Well, COVID doesn't taste at all, so that's not a good example. But let's say that you just don't feel good and you eat something and normally you love it, but it tastes weird this time. Well, there can be a sickness that's in us that causes us to not have the taste for the Word of God that we should. But did you know, and by the way, I think sometimes we blame it on the preacher. And by the way, there can be bad preaching, believe me. And don't say amen to that. But there's guys who aren't doing a good job with it. And maybe their spirit isn't what it should be. And I can testify that in my own life. And I don't want to be that, but it can happen. But even in those times, if the Word of God is being declared, even if it's not being declared in a good way, if it's being declared, God can work in your heart. If your attitude is right, if your spirit is right. But did you know that if your spirit is bad, it's like you have this illness going on in you? You could even hear a great sermon, but it tastes bad to you. What do we do in those times? Continue to expose yourself to the Word of God. Personal Bible reading. My guess is, and I'm not going to point fingers tonight, but my guess is that some of us in this room have not been reading our Bibles every day like we should. And maybe you have, but you don't have the appetite for it. You're just, going through the motions, you know. Well, we all go through that. So what's the answer? Keep reading the Bible. Keep getting a taste of it. Ask God, God, I don't have the appetite that I should, which indicates I don't have the hunger that I should for your Word. Would you give me a hunger? Would you help me? Would you speak to me? I'm telling you, whenever you read the Bible, And you're just reading it, and then that God gives you that verse. You could have like 7 consecutive days of not good Bible reading, but then on day 8, you open it again, and you expose yourself to the Word of God again, and He gives you that verse. He spoke to you. It enriched you. It blessed you. Did you know that God is rich and we are poor? We are poor and God is rich. And that wealth pours out through the Word of God. There's no other source of getting the wealth of God in your life or the wisdom of God than through the Word of God. So continue to expose yourself. He'll heal you of that bitterness that's making it taste bad. He'll give you a kind of joy that's been missing. He'll satisfy the emptiness you've been trying to fulfill with entertainment or some other mode or method. He'll give you an appetite again because He'll give you a verse and it'll speak to you and it'll enrich you. It'll bless you. It'll calm you. It'll take care of that appetite that you have. And He'll give you a hunger again for it. And so then you'll get up the next day and you're like, man, I can't wait for what God's going to do today in my Bible reading. And you just stick to it, and you stick to it, and you stick to it. Every single day, God will give you an appetite. He'll give you a hunger. And the same is true with the preaching. You say, man, it's kind of a bad sermon. Those happen. Hopefully not very often, but they're there. What do? Stay in the preaching. Stay faithful. Don't let other things steal your hunger and appetite away from the preaching. Is there anything, watch, church family, we're almost done. Is there anything more important than the Word of God? The answer is no. We need it. We need to have an appetite for it. Let me give you a closing thought here. Several years ago, I went to the dentist because I was having some toothaches, and this is a long time ago, and I go to the dentist regularly now because of this experience. Anybody have that dentist experience you wish God would just remove from your memory? I have one of those. I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. So I had some toothache, this side, bottom tooth, and went to the dentist, and there was a cavity there. It was bad cavity. And I hadn't been to the dentist in a long time. And so he is going to drill out the cavity and fill it. And so he gave me a shot, which I hate those. But he gives me the shot, but he didn't do it right. Now, again, I'm not at the dentist. So I don't go to the dentist. I do now, but I hadn't up till then, which is why I had this cavity. So I didn't know that when he started drilling, I wasn't supposed to feel it. I could feel it. And then, so he started drilling, and I just grabbed onto the chair like this, because, I mean, it was like, ouch. It didn't numb at all. And I didn't say anything, because I didn't know it was abnormal. Plus, I didn't want to be a wimp, you know, like, all right, wimp, I mean, this is supposed to feel like this. I'm like, tough it out. This is what I would say to my kids. Tough it out. Try not to cry, you know. And holding onto the seat, my nails are probably going into it, you know. There's probably still marks on that chair. Anyway. Well, he was digging away at this thing, and then he hit the root of my tooth. So he destroyed the tooth. I had to get a root canal and get it. And so if you want to know which dentist, I'll tell you about it. Don't ever go there. But anyway, that's a different part of it. That's story B. We'll talk about that later, different after church. So he hit the root, and when he hit the root, I didn't know that he hit the root because I didn't know, but I knew something wasn't right because I felt it in my toenails. I didn't know there's nerves in your toenails. I figured it out at that moment. I mean, I felt it from the tips of my hair. And that's where my bald spot came from, actually. Hair just flew out of the hair. I mean, it was bad. It hurt. It hurt. Hit the root. Destroyed the tooth. Actually filled it. Didn't even tell me. And so I was miserable. It was miserable. The whole experience was miserable. And then because he hit the root, I was miserable for 2 weeks until I had the root canal. I mean, you couldn't breathe on it. Ow! I mean, it was just so sensitive and miserable. Now, God wants us to have a hunger for the Word of God. You know, and it's more than just saying, I don't like sauerkraut, or I like coffee. It's much more than that. It's the difference between life and death. That's what he said. Now, life and death, in a spiritual sense, we could say saved and lost. We could say that. But applying it to your exposure consistently to the Word of God, think about it more like this. Living a life that is rich, or living a life that is death and miserable. And there's a big difference. I was miserable after that dentist appointment. I was absolutely miserable. I'll never forget it. Did you know that the appetite of this world that we often have that replaces our appetite for the Word of God will never lead us to satisfaction? That always ends up miserable. It can't lead us anywhere else because that's the end of it. And Solomon said it like this, death, that's where it's going to lead you. But if you decide, I want to develop a hunger for the Word of God, I want to develop a hunger for the Word of God, then it will lead you to life. And so tonight, that's the choice that you have to make. The question is where is your hunger for the Word of God? And if you are evaluating your own hunger tonight, you probably already know. I've been hungry for this, 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 and this, but I haven't been as hungry for the Word of God as I should be. Then let's ask God to give us a hunger for the Word of God again. What do? Keep exposing yourself to it. Taste it. Did you know the Word of God is sweet? It's sweet. And a lot of the sweetness of the Word of God has to do with the condition of our own heart. The Word of God is always sweet, but if it's bitter to you, it's probably something going on in your heart. And if you'll say, God, help my heart to be right so that whenever I receive the Word of God, it'll be sweet to me. Because then when it's sweet, you'll want more of it. And you'll be like that heat-seeking missile that our little children are when they get that sugar. You'll want the Word of God. You'll walk into church and you'll say, oh, finally, what's God going to do for me tonight? Because I need something. And He'll give it to you. He'll give you everything you need. He'll calm you. He'll take care of it. He'll satisfy you. What a powerful word. He'll satisfy you with the Word. Sometimes He has to confront us. He'll always satisfy. Tonight, maybe you need to come to the altar. Maybe you just need to kneel where you are and you need to say, I have not had a hunger for the Word of God like I should. My appetite is for these things. My appetite isn't as much for God's Word as it should be. Let's ask God to give us an appetite. Stay exposed. Some of you need to get up tomorrow and you need to say, I'm going to read my Bible today. Every day. I have not been reading my Bible. I'm going to read my Bible. It's not been sweet to me, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to stick to it. And God's going to give you something. It's going to get sweet. And it's just going to enliven you. And I love that. And I want that. But you got to stick to it. And then stay under the preaching. Stay under the preaching. Whether the sermons are good or whether it was a flop, it doesn't matter. Stay under the preaching. We need the Word. Ask God to give you a hunger for it. Father, tonight, we thank You that as we go through the challenges that we face in life, You satisfy the needs with the Word. And I thank You for that. And I praise You for being faithful. You're always faithful whether we are or not. And so tonight it might be that some of us need to regain a passion, an appetite for Your Word. And so I pray that You would help us to, if needed, repent. If needed, just admit some things and say, God, I've been a little bit bitter in my own taste for the Word of God, and would you help me to take that away and give me make the Word of God sweet to me again? God will do that for us, and I know You will. I pray that You'd work in our hearts and help us to have that kind of faith, and then just to get back to our reading, to get back to our consistency in the Word of God under the preaching. Help us to be here faithfully. And we'll trust that work that You're going to do in us and the hunger that You give us. Enliven us tonight. Encourage us, strengthen us, calm us. And we'll pray Your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.